When life happens, plans need to change. Shaping Change, hosted by certified financial planner Ross Marino, is dedicated to helping financial advisors better serve their clients when life takes those unexpected turns.
Today, we are once again Shaping Change with Ashley Kwame. Hello, Ashley.
Hey, Ross. How are you?
I am good. It's so good to have you back on the show. I love asking you questions, listening, learning from you. And of course, you have that added insight that you are married to a certified financial planner. So you really understand what we do on a regular basis. And of course, what our clients go through as well. Before we dive in, how about you take 30 seconds and introduce yourself?
Yeah, I am a marriage and family therapist by education and trade, who has transitioned into the financial therapy, financial behavior specialist industry, working with financial advisors, the founder of The Wealthy Marriage, which is my clinical practice, where I have a team where we see clients. And then I'm also the owner of BAM Financial Consulting as well.
Great to have you on. We're going to have a really interesting topic today, something that comes up almost daily in my world as a financial planner. And it's about how people approach and then enter into retirement and how spending plays into all of that. And what I have noticed over the years is your typical person or couple that comes to us, they're not really overspenders, right? They're pretty vigilant with money. It's the reason, and I will often joke and say, well, if you weren't frugal, we wouldn't be having this conversation, right? They're able to manage their money and budget accordingly. But then when they go into retirement, we don't actually see a lot of overspending, even though that seems to be a conversation. But the people we're working with, that's really not their problem as they go into retirement. Is that pretty common? And why is that?
Yeah, I would say so, that I see that a lot as well, working both on the clinical side and with advisors. And I think from a why standpoint, this really kind of comes about because of their history. So if we look at certain moments in time for these more vigilant savers, usually there's indicators early on from childhood, young adulthood, that have really wired them or taught them that, you know, saving more, spending less is really the way to be. And some of that stems from maybe some issues around safety or security.
And I remember growing up, even in my early 20s, even though I was a financial advisor, I always had the same mantra in my head, which is make more than you spend. And the opposite is the same, spend less than you make, doesn't matter how you do it. But that was always the big deal. It was that margin. We had to make sure that we didn't spend more than we make. But as we go into retirement, we see people who could afford to spend X. So they actually have the income, or they could do withdrawals from retirement accounts, but they don't overspend, Ashley. We actually see a lot of underspending, where they really could spend a little bit more and it wouldn't have any negative impact on their future. Why do we see a lot of underspending?
Well, it makes a lot of sense when for what, maybe 40 years, that your mindset has been one way, right? Accumulate, accumulate, save, 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 right? And then all of a sudden you've reached this chapter, you've reached this point in life where your financial advisor is like, hey, like, stop doing that now. We need you to do the opposite of actually what you have been doing for 40 years. So it's really hard for the brain to just adjust that way, you know, in a short amount of time. So if you think about it from a habit standpoint, habits can be hard to break. And this is a little bit more than maybe just a habit because it is more of a mindset. But when you've been operating from one place for decades, and then you're asked to switch that mindset, it can be a really tough adjustment for a lot of retirees to make.
I've certainly seen it. And we, of course, built our practice, Transitus Wealth, on understanding the two sides of money, the human side, and then, of course, the financial side. And the human side a lot is mindset. Well, as we try to help people guide them into retirement and think about spending money, what's a way people could maybe frame spending in retirement, or how could they approach it from a mindset standpoint?
Yeah, there's a few different ways to go about this. One is to look at maybe thinking about spending in short-term increments. So you and I have talked before about breaking goals down into maybe micro steps, or looking at things from on a horizon standpoint instead of the next like 10, 20 years. For retirees, it can be important to look at maybe just the next 3, maybe to 5. So much can change, you know, at this stage in life. And so one of the ways that you can look at from a spending standpoint is, hey, maybe for the next 3 years, let's try spending this amount of money per year. There's an advisor that I work with, and he calls it experiments, having little experiments. And so if you think about it maybe in this way, it offers that freedom and security still that you can change your mind. If this little experiment over the next 12, 24, 36 months, if it doesn't feel great to you, if it feels really uncomfortable, or if something happens financially, medically, within your family system, you can make adjustments. If we think about it like an experiment, it takes some of the pressure off when it comes to spending. The other thing is that, couples or individuals can really start to maybe focus more on connecting their spending to a purpose or maybe a meaning. So, for example, travel seems to be big during this time. Travel or spending time with family. And so maybe thinking about your spending as a way of connecting it to some type of purpose or value or creating a legacy.
Much easier to approach it that way as opposed to I want to take X amount of dollars out. And in my brain, I'm thinking I might do this for the rest of my life. And that could really hurt me long term. So to bring it into a shorter term time frame experiments, I think that that's a great way to approach it. Now, we work with a lot of individuals. We also work with couples or partners, and no two people are exactly alike. And even if they found a way to agree on financial decisions, it doesn't mean that they're seeing it from the same angle or coming from the same place. They're just agreeing maybe on a direction or a course of action. We know mindsets could be different. One might be a saver, one might be a spender. How can we approach that conversation? How can you help couples kind of bring this up and talk through it?
One of the ways that I encourage couples in this new chapter, in this new phase, is to update what we call your relational map. Dr. John Gottman has put out a lot of great research around couples needing to update what he calls a love map, but your relationship map. So getting to know one another again, that requires you to ask questions about what's important to you in this next phase? What do you want to do? What are hobbies that you want to pursue or relationships? So for couples, really becoming intentional from a relationship standpoint around what do we want this to look like? We kind of need to get to know one another a little bit more. As you said, if couples are really on the same page about their spending, connect it to some type of, you know, maybe experience or again, a legacy, some purpose, meaning. The main thing here is that couples really need to support one another. There's a lot of research around goal support and how couples who are more successful from a financial standpoint, they're that way because they support each other with their goals. Support doesn't mean that you always agree. That's okay. You don't have to agree, but you can show support more than just verbally, but also behaviorally too. So if it's important that, you know, for your spouse that they want to travel, leaning into that a little bit more, right? And finding some kind of middle ground there to where you both end up winning.
Being able to create a safe space so you can have the conversation. And I think you mentioned this in a few of our previous conversations about really being able to support each other, which means non-judgmental, recognizing that based on how they grew up, they are going to see things a certain way. And I've certainly learned, I can't even remember year 32 or year 33 of marriage. My wife knows, so I married well. So that part's okay. But just knowing along the way, there's things that she thinks and feels, I'm not going to convince her to think or feel differently and vice versa. And that's okay. We still have to figure it out. We still have to talk through it. So creating that safe space really seems like probably just the whole key.
Absolutely. There's so much freedom for couples when they let go of being right, which is really, really difficult to do. I'm saying it like it's easy, but I recognize it is so difficult. But in this new chapter and in this new phase of retirement, letting go of that reflex of I am right, especially when it comes to maybe spending more, there's a lot of right ways of going about doing it. But exactly to your point. Like, the better you are at being able to support one another, the easier your relationship and, you know, this time period will be for you.
As soon as you said letting go of being right, I had to fight to keep a straight face. I thought, oh, is that all? Well,
that's all you have to do.
Ago, right? Yeah, I needed you when I was in my 30s, right? Or whatever. It takes a while to figure that one out, but eventually you get there. Great advice. The mindset, of course, is really a challenge. And to transition to retirement, it's not just that you have to think about money and how you want to spend, but also how you feel and think before retirement is going to alter somewhat once you're retired and after retirement. So this is an ongoing process that I think individuals and couples need to keep going through. I appreciate you being on the show as always. I know we're going to have you back again. Once again, Ashley Kwame, thanks for being with us and helping shape change.
Thanks, Ross.
Thank you for listening to Shaping Change with Ross Marino. This show is for general information purposes only and is not intended to provide recommendations or advice. Speak with a legal, tax, or financial advisor before making any decisions. Past performance references are historical and do not guarantee future results.